Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Tuesday edition. Before You Bet, Aaron live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. We are proudly presented by BetMGM. Make sure you check them out for all your sports betting needs. The king of sportsbooks, baby. And I'm feeling good. 3-0 yesterday with my Monday night football picks. I got a new haircut. Feeling fresh. I got a fridge full of apples. I went apple picking over the weekend. Honey crisp, baby. We're feeling good. We're feeling healthy. We got a big week still ahead of us. The Major League Baseball season winding down. We're going to get into that in the second half of the show. A big week 4 in the NFL coming up as well. Professional sports bettor Hitman will be by here in a matter of seconds. Recap a little of what we saw last night. Look ahead with some futures bets and his best bets here for week 4 of the NFL season. If you guys want to participate in the show, very easy to do so. Hit up the live chat on YouTube and over on X. Our guy Bobby Newport in there saying it's the Joe Show, baby. Fire him up. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Okay, let's stop wasting time here. Let's go to our guy, the legend himself. Professional sports bettor Hitman. Is it fair to call you a legend? What do you think?
No. The real legend is the real Hitman, Bret Hart. I'm just a guy that's betting on sports. So no ego here.
The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. Okay, so let's get right into it. We're going to do talk about these games last night, a couple other hot topics, and then we'll get into some spots that you like for the week coming up. So let's start with Bills. Jaguars last night, the Jaguars got their doors completely blown off. Do you think it's an exaggeration to say that they're a bottom five team here in the NFL? They are now 1-8 in their last 9 games going back to last season. That only win came against the Carolina Panthers. Trevor Lawrence looks bad. I think this guy's out of excuses. You know, fair to give him a pass in the rookie season there with Urban Meyer, but someone was circulating something, career stats his compared to Daniel Jones. They're pretty similar results, but Jones is regarded as one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. Well, Lawrence, people still giving a little bit of a pass. So Jaguars are a bottom five team in the NFL. Is that fair to say?
No, I don't have them close to a bottom five team. And I know that like after a game like last night, like everybody wants to say the wheels are coming off, and maybe they do come off. Maybe Lawrence isn't the quarterback of Jacksonville in 2 years, I'd say, maybe because he just got that contract. Maybe Doug Peterson gets fired. Who knows? But remember, this is still a team despite being 0-3. They should have beaten Miami in week 1. They were that fumble at the goal line by Etienne away from beating them. They outperformed Cleveland in a lot of the stats in week 2 despite losing that game. And you know, last night they just had a disastrous performance. Nothing else to say about it. I've downgraded them from the start of the season for sure. I had them before the season like an absolute smidge above average. Now they're probably decently below average in my opinion, but I'm still not putting them in bottom. It's going to take some more losses and some more Buffalo type performances by them for me to downgrade them even further.
Okay, let's look at the other side of this. The Bills just blown the doors off everybody here so far this season, 3-0. So since halftime of their week 1 game versus the Cardinals, the Bills have outscored their opponents 102-31. They lead the NFL in points, 4th in yards per play, strong in the red zone. Not really missing Stephon Diggs or Gabe Davis, are they? So what do you think of this statement? The Bills are the best offense in the NFL. No?
I'm going to say debatable. You know, I still don't love a lot of the complimentary pieces around Josh Allen in Buffalo. But he's just playing at such a high level throughout 3 games. Like, it's hard to disagree with you strongly, but I just want to see maybe a longer term sample size play out. He's, in my opinion, the clear second best quarterback in the league, but there's some other teams I think that maybe you could just put in the conversation. Kansas City, maybe they end up in the conversation, although now the offense has been struggling a little bit. The last 2 weeks wasn't their best performance. Houston, I know after last week, it's hard to say, but I think that their personnel at least is up there as far as best offenses in the league. I am going to just say that they're in the discussion, but I'm not ready to crown them yet. But I won't oppose you strongly if you believe that right now.
Okay. So yeah, let's see a little bit of a bigger sample size, only 3 weeks into the season. Okay. So what about the Cincinnati Bengals here? What do you make of this? This is a weird start. So they always start slow, but this year it's hard to make sense of. So they go toe to toe with the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City, but on their home field, they lose outright to both the Patriots and the Commanders. It's still early, but you know, teams that started 0-3 typically don't go on a good run and end up making the playoffs. So what do you make of this start here from the Bengals?
I'm not panicking yet. Now, obviously, the 0-3 record, it's about time they got to start getting some wins, especially starting this week. But this is still a Bengals team that is first in success rate on offense and fourth in EPA per drive on offense. So, that was without T. Higgins for two games. So, and that was also after week one, where what do we know about Cincinnati? They tend to start slow. So I'm not panicking on the Bengals right now. I still think that personnel-wise, this offense is top five-ish, arguably at least. The defense has been very concerning, and this has been going back to last year now. Feels like just against Kansas City, that seems to be the team that they always have the right matchup against, and the rest of the league's been moving the ball up and down the field on them. But I'm going to hold off my panic one more week. If Carolina beats them outright, then I think we start to get concerned.
Yeah, if Andy Dalton does it again.
And like, remember also, like, this is a Bengals team that like literally had the Chiefs beat in Arrowhead last week, you know? So
absolutely. Okay, so the other side of that game, I don't know if there's much else to add. Jaden Daniels looks absolutely incredible. He looks like the real deal. He looks like he's going to be an absolute superstar if he can avoid getting decapitated. Some of the hits that he takes aren't very pretty. Completing 80% of his passes, no interceptions through three games. That's a lot more than the likes of Anthony Richardson and Will Levis can say. But now he is the favorite, I believe, for Offensive Rookie of the Year. But Caleb Williams, this is a guy who was a pretty big favorite to win the award. I saw him today around plus 550. And like we're saying, it's only early here. Do you think that's a good bet? We know futures betting is all about time, but Caleb Williams plus 550 to win this award, a bit of a slow start, but plenty of time to get her going here.
I will say that I don't like Jaden Daniels' prices just on the sole fact that I think he's such an injury risk the way that he's playing. Like, let's be real about him too. He's not exactly the most, he doesn't look like the type of guy that can just withstand all these hits like a Jalen Hurts or someone like that. So I'm a little concerned that he just might end up missing time. You don't wish that on anybody, but I think that it's a possibility that it could happen if he just continues to take some of the hits that he is taking. So Caleb Williams plus 550, you know, I still think he's going to be a good quarterback long term. I said that a few weeks ago on this show. So could he get it together now? I mean, if you get Keenan Allen back, Roma Dunze had a good game last week. You have DJ Moore. Maybe the offensive line starts to block a few people. I don't hate it at like buying it at the price right now. I haven't thought about it a ton, and I haven't even made a bet on Offensive Rookie of the Year, but I don't hate it. The only guy that I'm kind of anti right now in that market is Daniels, just solely because I'm just scared that he could get injured.
Okay, Hitman, what do you make of this pattern, this trend that we're seeing? Big favorites absolutely crumbling so far this season. Ask anybody who's been in a survivor pool. They can look forward to next year's survivor pools in the NFL, most of them. So Underdogs of 5 or more points are 14-2 against the spread and 10-6 outright. Do you think this is something? Now, it's probably going to correct itself over the course of the season, but do you think it corrects itself sooner than later here? Or do you think this could drag out a little bit?
I mean, I tend to believe that there's going to be some regression to the mean, and it's some of these favorites are going to start covering at some point. I'd say that all I think about when I see something like that is, does this present opportunities for the future as far as going against this stuff? Like, maybe is there some games where normally the team might be a 7-point underdog where maybe you're getting, it's only 6.5 because public money is just pouring in on some of these underdogs playing just past trends from the few weeks. So that's kind of where my mind goes when I hear this. So I'll put it like this. When I handicap games this week, I'm not even thinking about it. Like, I'm thinking about more is maybe their favorite that I like, that maybe I'm getting an extra 0.5 just because this trend on the favorites not covering is getting so widespread.
Okay, let's talk a couple of surprise teams here to start the season. We talked about the Bengals. They're surprising for the wrong reason, same as the Jaguars. The Dallas Cowboys maybe throw them into that group. But we have a couple of teams here who are 3-0. A lot of people probably didn't predict these teams to be 3-0 3 weeks into the season. The Vikings, who so impressive here. I mean, they've already beat 2 playoff teams from last season, so very impressed with them, especially on the defensive end. And, of course, Sam Darnold. The Steelers, no one wins ugly like the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing so again this season, and the Seahawks. So out of those three teams, who do you think is most likely to regress?
Well, I spoke in the offseason on here about how I like the Vikings. So I think that some of this is for real, what they're doing. I was kind of high on Seattle coming into the year, and they've been doing well, albeit against a very weak strength of schedule. I'm going to say, and I was anti-Steelers coming into the year, so there hasn't been much to change my opinion. Like, obviously, I've upgraded Pittsburgh. Justin Fields has played better than I expected, but it's just still a team. Like, I just don't know how sustainable this is once you start stepping up in competition, that you're just going to have offenses that are throwing for 160 yards a game, and your number two pass catcher some weeks is Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin and guys like that. I'm not in love with Arthur Smith as the coordinator. I would say that Pittsburgh is the team that I think maybe comes back to reality, and especially because the back end of their schedule this season is just so hellaciously tough. Like, they were going to have to win games early. I mean, there's a reason that their season win total closed around 8.5, and it's at 9.5 now. Like, it's only went up a game despite them being 3-0. Like, the rest of the schedule is extremely difficult for Pittsburgh. So I would say that Pittsburgh is the most likely team that regresses and misses the playoffs possibly.
Okay, so what about some of these teams that are underperforming? We've already talked about the Bengals, but we have the Cowboys who are off to a bad start, the 49ers who are off to a losing start, and it doesn't look they're going to get healthier anytime soon. They're going in the wrong direction. We know you talked about the under on their win total last week. The Ravens finally pick up their first win. I don't think the Dolphins are going to be too good anytime soon, but do you think any of these teams that are underperforming are going to bounce back nicely and be looked at as a true contender a couple weeks from now?
Yeah, the team I had written down was the Bengals, just because, as I spoke of earlier, I mean, their offense is playing really well right now. And like I said, in week 2, they had Kansas City on the ropes. I still have them power rated as a well above average team. So that was the team that I was thinking of. A lot of the teams you mentioned, like San Francisco and Baltimore, like, I'm very confident those are still really good teams, and they're going to be fine despite being 1-2. The other team that you mentioned, Dallas, that's the team I have a little bit more concern with. I do think, though, that the book is still out on them. Like, they kicked the crap out of bad teams, and when they play good teams, tend to struggle. And that's what we've seen so far this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what we got to see going forward. So Dallas, maybe of those three teams that you mentioned, would be the team that I was a little bit concerned about coming into the year, and maybe just a little bit concerned going forward.
So what do you think of them, though, in the Thursday nighter? It's an interesting spot because they're coming off a couple of really bad performances, and now we have them as a 4.5-point favorite, picking on a Giants team that, you know, they were pretty sloppy at the start of that game in Cleveland, but they ended up picking up the W. What do you make of this week's Thursday nighter?
Lean towards Dallas. It's just, as I said, like, the book is out on Dallas, that they tend to just kick the crap out of a lot of these bad teams. I'm still not buying that the Giants are anything better than maybe my 20, just off the top of my head without looking at my ratings, 27th, 28th-ish best team. I lean towards Dallas, but it's not a game that I haven't been close to betting anything in the game. So just a slight lean towards Dallas.
Danny Dimes, baby. Okay. Let's get into a couple best bets here. We have an ugly looking game going down in Las Vegas. We have the Cleveland Browns in town, the Raiders. It looks like the wheels could fall off for them at any minute now. You like the under in this game?
Yes, I liked it a little bit more 30 minutes ago when it was 37.5. Unfortunately, it started to steam before I came on. Still shop around. There might be a 37.5 or two out there. But under 37, you know, the Raiders, it's funny. Antonio Pierce goes to his press conferences, and all he talks about the last 2 weeks is, we need to run the ball more. It's unacceptable. More attempts for Zamir White. This is a Raiders team that has the worst EPA per rush attempt for any team through 2 weeks since the 2000s. Then you look on the other side, the Cleveland Browns. What was their big thing in the offseason? They hired Ken Dorsey. They trade for wide receivers, like Jerry Jeudy. We're going to throw the ball more, especially about Nick Chubb to start the year. Like, that was, they were adamant they were going to throw the ball more. This is a Browns offense that is third worst in EPA per dropback for any team since the 2000s. So it's two teams that are terrible at what they want to do offensively. The Browns have a ton of offensive line injuries right now, with Wyatt Teller's out, James Hudson probably out, Jedrick Wills probably out for this game. They're desperately missing Callahan, their offensive line coach, who they lost in the offseason. No team is allowing more pressure right now than the Cleveland Browns, going against Max Crosby, Christian Wilkins, and that Raiders front four. I just thought that maybe 36.5 was a little bit more accurate of a number in this game. So admittedly, 37 is a little bit thinner, but still worth maybe a small play, in my opinion.
You're not scared of Aiden O'Connell potentially stepping in as a starting quarterback for the Raiders?
I am not scared of AOC. I would actually, I would prefer it, because Gardner Minshew has more variance, a little bit more of a gunslinger.
Yeah, more playmaking ability.
But it's going to be Minshew. But maybe at halftime, it ends up being AOC, especially against that Browns defense.
Okay, from an ugly one to, I think, a pretty good-looking game here in Detroit, the Seahawks in town. These teams have played in quite a few high-scoring games over the past couple seasons. But we have the Seahawks here as a 4-point underdog, and you like them to at least keep this one tight.
Yeah, I like Seattle plus 4 in this game. You know, I like to sometimes go back to past matchups with teams, and like, if stuff is applicable, like maybe it's the same quarterback, same skill position guys against the same coaching staff, it has some weight, at least in my opinion. Very little, but some weight in my opinion. Geno Smith has played against the Aaron Glenn Detroit defense the past two seasons. He's 55 of 71, 648 passing yards, and 4 touchdowns, no picks against that defense. The Seahawks have scored 85 points in those games. And I know in the offseason, there was talk about Detroit upgraded their defensive personnel. Well, now look at some of the injuries that they have on defense. Marcus Davenport and Derek Barnes is out for this game. They could also be without Brian Branch, Ali McNeil, and Terrion Arnold. They have a bye next week, so if they want to be cautious about resting some of these guys, maybe this week is the week to do it. They also are pretty banged up on offense right now. Frank Ragnow is out for this game. Sam Laporta probably plays, in my opinion, but not 100%. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's obviously going to play also, but he's been banged up this season as well. And then not to mention that Jared Goff has struggled mightily this year. He's 27th in EPA completion percentage over expected composite rankings, just ahead of Bo Nix, Deshaun Watson, Caleb Williams, Bryce Young, and Anthony Richardson. Not a list that you want to be on. And then if you look at last year when Mike McDonald faced this Lions offense and Jared Goff, what'd he do against them? He held them to 6 points. And even though like Seattle does have defensive line injuries right now with Leonard Williams and Byron Murphy probably not playing in this game, or possibly not playing in this game, I think that McDonald is just such a good schemer that he can still create some havoc for this Lions offense.
Okay, I am convinced. That sounds like a really nice spot here on next Monday for the Seahawks here. And another Monday night doubleheader. What do you, before we get to your last pick, I don't like how you overlap these games on the Monday night. I wish it was a true doubleheader, one game back to back. Does that bug you or do you like it?
I like it because I tend to have more prop bets on the Monday night games and Thursday night games just because I have more time to focus on one specific game. So I had a lot more action like this past week because I just had more time to focus on the two games. The thing that I dislike is I'm a little bit out of whack when I'm live betting on these games, just because it's having to follow two games at once is obviously a lot more difficult than following one game. So I'm a little neutral on it. Gun to head, I'll take the two game slate.
Okay. Let's wrap one up here with let's go to an award market that we were discussing last week, the comeback player of the year award. This was super hot in the betting community last year. We know Joe Flacco versus Hamlin there. But you like Burrow. You think he's worth a bet here this week in this market.
Yeah, admittedly, I bet Joe Burrow last week to be comeback player of the year 9-1, and the number got worse. So not my best timing of the market, but I still think that it's good. I mean, this is the third time I'm going to say it on the show. The Bengals first in success rate.
Yeah, here we go,
fourth Bengals. Fourth in EPA per drive year to date. Like, this offense and Joe Burrow is not playing bad. And I'm just going to crap on the other candidates right now. Like, Aaron Rodgers is, I think, even money right now. Like, Aaron Rodgers, don't get me wrong, I think he's a good candidate to win it. But, like, if there's any type of tie, like Burrow and Rodgers are close, I think that it means something that the media dislikes Aaron Rodgers so much that maybe the nudge, if it's a close race, just goes to somebody else unless Rodgers just wins it convincingly. Sam Darnold and Damar Hamlin, like, are they eligible? Is Sam Darnold eligible? Because you look at the rules of the voting, it says that it's not coming back from sucking, it's coming back from injury. So Is Sam Darnold even eligible? I don't know. Damar Hamlin, I mean, I guess he's eligible. Is he eligible after coming back now 2 years removed?
He was active all last season, right?
He did. I think he was active maybe one or two games or something like that.
Yeah.
But like, how eligible is he in the voters' minds? I'm not sure. And then there's the other guys around Burrow's price range. Dobbins, like, is it sustainable for him? The most injury-prone running back in the league, playing the most injury-prone position in the league. I just think that the Bengals probably fix things. I still think they can make the playoffs. And if they do, I think Burrow's odds will be a lot less than this.
Yeah, I mean, they're just not going to throw in the towel by any means. Like, you tune into any other sports show out there, they are killing the Bengals this morning, but not here with Hitman on Before You Bet. It's a long way to go here, and the Bengals could bounce back. They're going to have to beat some good teams, so if they want to get into the hunt. Sam Darnold, by the way, 3-1 now to win Comeback Player of the Year. Pretty sure that was a lot higher yesterday when I was talking about him. So that one fell off of a cliff. But yeah, okay, that absolutely Makes sense. We'll see. Aaron Rodgers was moving around pretty good on Thursday night. I get to give him credit as a Jets hater. But yeah, interesting market for sure. Hitman, we will leave it at that. We thank you for joining. Best of luck with your handicapping for the rest of the week. Best of luck with your bets this weekend. And we'll catch you again next Tuesday.
Thanks, Joe. Catch you next Tuesday.
Yes, sir. The man right there, JPC fourth weighing in, kill Thursday night football and do Monday night staggered doubleheaders, one East Coast, one West Coast. I like the Thursday night football game just because I like having something to do on a Thursday night and I like watching football. I know the product is bullshit a lot of the time. It doesn't seem like you get a whole lot of really good Thursday night football games. The last two have been awful. Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets. You often don't get the best version of a team. But sometimes that's the fun of it, I guess. But yeah, more football, right? Absolutely love it. Let us shift gears here, guys, to Major League Baseball. And let us go to our guy in his regular Tuesday appearance here. Detroit Tigers fan. The Magic Ass Man, John Mettler, how we making out?
Good. You asked me a week ago, you said the Tigers were, I think it was like plus 450 to make the playoffs. And I said they were about, probably that was about a fair price. Now a week later, they're like minus 300. All they did was go on to sweep the Royals and win 2-3 against the Orioles. It's just a crazy story. I've never seen anything like it.
Okay, let's take a look here at the wild card standings. The Orioles look good to go here. Then you have the Royals and Tigers who were tied with the Twins who are one game back. And I've said this multiple times on the show. I'll say it one last time. Nobody outside of Twins fans wants to see the Twins in the playoffs again. They are an easy out almost every single time unless they're playing the Toronto Blue Jays. I tweeted about that and some Twins fans were quite rude to me. One of them called me a millennial liberal. It's like
going bald.
It's not totally true. I don't know why you have to bring politics into it, but that's people on the internet these days. National League Padres look good to go. Those underdog Mets, those scrappy Mets, got a half a game lead over the Diamondbacks and the Braves, a game and a half back. I would like to see the Braves in over the Diamondbacks. We saw the Diamondbacks make a nice run last year. I would like to see the Braves get in. Their best pitcher goes down at the start of the season. Their best hitter goes down, Strider and Acuna. How good of it would it be to see them get in, be able to overcome that? A lot of teams always making excuses because of injuries. They have a couple big injuries, and they'll just throw the towel in. Not the Atlanta Braves. So if the season ended today here, guys, the Major League Baseball playoffs start next Tuesday, by the way, but the matchups would be for the wild card round, the Tigers versus the Astros, the Royals versus the Orioles, the D-backs versus the Brew Crew, and the Mets versus the Padres. I would love to see that Mets-Padres series. I think that looks like the most interesting one. Who would you put into the World Series, John? Just from a pure fandom perspective, I know you're a Tigers fan, so it's probably going to be them. Who would you like to see represent the National League?
I personally always root for the San Diego Padres. I don't know why. They're just a team I've always, especially these last, like, what, 4 or 5 years, where they're just been spending, like, a crazy amount of money since the Chargers left, trying to, like, kind of capitalize on that market. I don't know. I'm just a fan of any owner of, like, more of a small market team that's going to spend that amount of money to bring that much talent to your team. I just support it. I've always the, like, the Machado signing, Xander Bogaerts, a lot of them haven't worked out. Like, they trade for Juan Soto, things like that, but it's just a team. I don't know why. I just always root for the Padres. I've been to their ballpark. It's gorgeous too. So that's probably why too.
Now, I don't have a horse in the race. I'm a Blue Jays fan. They were out of it on opening day, I believe, when they were eliminated from playoff contention. But I would like to see something with a big buzz this year, like a big feel World Series. Like last year, you had the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. Nobody really cared about that. I would love to see something where the sports world gets focused on baseball. Doesn't happen that often. So how can that happen? Well, if the Yankees get into the World Series, I don't like the Yankees. I don't like a lot of their fans, but playoff baseball at Yankee Stadium in October is different. It has a feeling to it. So if you had the Yankees get in representing the AL, they can't seem to get over the hump here if they face the Astros. But if you have the Yankees facing either the Phillies or the Dodgers, that would be big. That would be huge for baseball. if they could break the script of who they're going to put in, it would be Yankees versus Dodgers. Now, I've joked around. It's probably going to be Guardians versus Brewers and Major League Baseball, and whoever has the broadcast rights would absolutely hate that. But I don't know. I think we might be due here for something big. Who knows? Maybe the Mets go on a run and we get another Subway Series. I'm kind of a bit of exhaustion from the Houston Astros. I mean, they're in the mix all the time. Good for them. There's some cheating involved once upon a time. People might remember that. Yeah. But
he's our manager now, so I forgive him. That would be the revenge tour, though, right? AJ Hinch and the Tigers could go to Houston, kind of end that run for the Astros always going to the ALCS. I think you're talking about, like, obviously the best TV matchup. It's too bad Otani's not pitching, because you imagine if we got a World Series Otani pitching against Aaron Judge, that would be pretty epic. It's kind of like that World Baseball Classic where we got Otani versus Trout, right? That was another one of those. That would be the peak of it all, but he's not pitching this year, so we won't see it. I mean, no, he's not pitching. So
yeah, the problem with the Yankees and Dodgers, they just always fall flat on their face here in the playoffs. I know the Dodgers won it during the COVID season, which still counts. I know people like to put an asterisk on that for them and the Lakers, which I don't think is fair. But the Dodgers, issues with the pitching, I think, and with the Yankees, Aaron Judge hasn't been good in the playoffs. Giancarlo Stanton, really? I don't think he'll make much noise for them. But who knows? The Phillies kind of choked a little bit last year in the NLCS. I'd like to see them get through. Got to love that crowd. That might be the best crowd in baseball in Philadelphia. Okay, so a little playoff talk. We're going to be covering every single game here, basically, on Before You Bet once the playoffs get going. But we still have some action here for the regular season. 7 total bets. I'm going to get us started. Let's start with Toronto Blue Jays starter, Bowden Francis. We're going to go under 2.5 earned runs for him, coming in at -145. He is on a 7-1 run against this number, where he's been great. He has a 1.67 ERA in this 8-game stretch, and he's taking on a Red Sox team that is really struggling versus right-handed pitching. 26th in OPS over the last 2 weeks. Stretch the sample size out over the last month on the road. They are dead last in OPS in Major League Baseball. And he recently dominated them. 0 earned runs, just 1 total base runner allowed in 7 innings of work against them back on August 29th. I like him to continue rolling, finish out his season strong. Francis under 2.5 earned runs. Let's stick to this game. Vladdy Guerrero, one of the bright spots, not many for the Blue Jays here, but you like him to go yard tonight, John.
Yeah, it's like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to hit home run +650. There's just certain numbers with like certain players where you see them and you're like, how do I not? Like, just to go back to like football this past week, you know, Jingles highlighted that with Lamar Jackson, anytime touchdown, I think it was like +200. And he's like, +200, how do I not hit the button here? That's kind of how I felt when I saw Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at +650. You're usually a guy, you're about +400, right? That's usually about what you see for him. So the +650 grabs your attention. And then you go through it and you're like, last 7 days batting .419, 1.083 OPS. And then you look at, you know, I'm not a big batter versus pitcher. I know a lot of people like it. It does convince a lot of people to kind of place the bet. He's 9-for-22 with 3 doubles and 2 home runs against the pitcher he's facing today. That's a lot of at bats. That's a lot of extra base power. So like, when you just combine all that, it's like, how do we not place this? The projection had about +490. So +650, there's a nice, you know, probability gap that you can attack there. I'm going Vladdy to hit the home run +650.
Ron Nicole in the live chat says, Dave Robertson said he wouldn't rule him, Otani, out of the bullpen.
That would be.
Which there was a clip of him, I think it was last week, he was throwing a bullpen session, just throwing absolute smoke. I love the idea of Otani as a closer. I think closer is probably the most badass position in all the sports, right? They're all alone. It's all on you. You're only pitching mainly in high leverage situations. Could you imagine that? Otani closing on games in the World Series? I would love to see it. Okay, let's go to, this seems like a boring bet, but I think a great bet. Ryan Feltner on the mound in Colorado, out on the West Coast, right, John? The Colorado Rockies there, Coors Field, the famous West Coast baseball stadium. We're going to go under 6.5 hits allowed, -135. So check this out. He's gone 11-2 against this number over his last 13 starts, including going 5-1 at home. It's hard to allow 7 hits here, and Feltner doesn't allow a lot of hits here. He's had a strong September so far, just 10 total hits allowed in 3 starts, 18.1 innings of work. He has a 1.96 ERA, and he's taking on a Cardinals team very unimpressive offensively here lately. A 230 batting average over the last 2 weeks, a lot of soft contacts. So we'll take Feltner to allow less than 6.5 hits. Let's go to the Houston Astros. I don't know if they're going to be banging those garbage cans tonight for Bregman. Hopefully they are, because you like him to go deep tonight.
Yeah, it took Alex Bregman to hit a home run, plus 625. This was at BetMGM. I'm hoping next week I'm going to see this guy live in Houston. And the Tigers are there. I'm hoping to go if they're playing the Houston Astros. Also, rumors he might be a free agent target of the Tigers this offseason.
Yeah, I saw that too.
AJ Hinch connection, all that stuff. So he could play well in Comerica Park. Today, we're deep into September here, and you're like looking. I was looking at the covers MLB weather page, and like it's just cold, like miserable. A lot of wind blowing in, so you can see. Like I went after Vlad Guerrero Jr. You know, he's playing at Rogers Center. This one's in Houston, so two indoor ballparks here with Bregman and Guerrero. That was intentional. When you're looking at this again, I'm not a big BVP guy, but he's playing Logan Gilbert. Logan Gilbert's excellent starting pitcher, one of the better starting pitchers in the American League, but he does give up home runs, 23 home runs. We're not looking for a rally. We're not looking for 6-7 runs, long innings. We're looking for one swing of the bat from someone who's done it to him three times. He's 10 for 28 with three home runs against him, plus 625. Projections had about plus 505. So once again, you're seeing like numbers in the BVP that kind of like pop to you. And then you're also seeing an edge in the pricing. So I went after Alex Bregman for that reason, plus 625 at BetMGM.
Yeah, a lot of Astros cheating talk on the show today. We forgive, but we will never forget. We are not about cheating here on Before You Bet, whether that be in a baseball game, on your diet, or on your significant other. We're all about loyalty around here. Okay, let's keep on rolling here. Brandon Pfaadt on the mound here for the D-backs down in Arizona. With the Giants in town, I think a really good number, really good spot to fade him. 17.5 outs, plus 128. Where are you getting this number from, guys? He's 1-5 against his number over his last six starts, where he's getting absolutely shit-canned. An 8.07 ERA in these six starts, four or more earned runs allowed in four of those six games. His worst work has come at home this season, where he has a 5.04 ERA. And then the Giants, they're not lights out by any means, but they are finishing strong here. 10th in OPS versus righties over the last week, 12 home runs in that span as well. So hopefully they can knock him around, chase him out before the sixth inning mark. Brandon Pfaadt under 17.5 outs. Okay, John, one more, a big one, Parker Meadows to go yard.
Yeah, Tigers. So this is Parker Meadows plus 850 again at BetMGM. It's not nice out. So this game was supposed to be at 6:40 tonight. Last night, the Tigers moved it to 1:10 today because there is like a window from like the rain where they can play. I'm going to the game too. It's dark. It's gloomy. The wind's supposed to be blowing in. The one thing I do like about Parker Meadows is when he hits home runs, they're long. Like they are way out. So like if he's going to connect on a home run, the wind's probably not much of a factor for someone like him. Like he's just, it's, you can go look at his home runs. They are way out. So that's what kind of drew me to him. The other thing too is this guy, his confidence has to be like sky high. This guy's playing unbelievable in center field. If you go look up some of the catches he's made, he robbed a home run in Baltimore. Like he has been a big, big part of this run. And lastly, like you've heard Jingles, he talked about it all the time, and they've talked on the Bad X show here on covers, pinch hit risk. And there's a lot of guys who are pinch hit risk in this Tigers lineup. AJ Hinch is just going lefty, right? He's like making all these different moves and stuff. Parker Meadows is going to play the whole game. He's playing at the top of the lineup, so that usually does kind of get you an extra at bat sometimes. So he's not someone you expect to get pinch hit in this lineup, which is kind of something you need to look at with the way the Tigers are playing. Like some guys start, but they're like in and out, in and out. So there was a huge gap to this. The projection was plus 575, so plus 850. I'm gonna go for it.
So how far from your house to the ballpark, how long will that take you?
Depends on the border, but like 20-25 minutes.
That's not too bad.
No, yeah.
Let's go Tigers. New blood in the playoffs here, right? It's too bad they traded Jack Flaherty. Okay, let's go to Los Angeles, where the San Diego Padres are in town. Michael King on the bump here for the Padres. We're going to fade him. Go under 17.5 outs, minus 145 on this one. And this isn't so much a fade of King as it is support here for the Dodgers, who are red hot at the plate here lately. League-leading 973 OPS with 16 home runs over the last week. They've been especially hot versus right-handed pitching over the past couple of weeks. LA hitters have had his number too. 87 combined at-bats against him. They have an 818 OPS. And here's the thing. The Padres' bullpen been one of the better ones in baseball over the past couple of weeks. They are fresh. They've only thrown 2.2 innings over the last 2 days. So there shouldn't be any hesitation whatsoever to go to that bullpen if he is in trouble or if that pitch count gets up. So we'll take King under 17 and a half outs. There you go, baseball. Okay, quick recap here. Bowden Francis under 2.5 earned runs, minus 145. Brian Feltner under 6.5 hits, minus 135. Brandon Pfaadt under 17.5 outs, plus 128 on that one. And Michael King under 17.5 outs. Mettler, quick recap, please.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to hit home run, plus 650. Alex Bregman, plus 625. And Parker Meadows of the Detroit Tigers, plus 850. I do see in the chat here, someone asked, they have Guardians. They said 30-1. I'm assuming that's World Series. When would you hedge? I've always been like a win a couple series. So I would say once you get to the ALCS World Series, I wouldn't do it the wild. You have to win wild card ALDS in my opinion, but I'm also not a big hedge guy. So I'm probably not the person to ask. And also someone else said Annie Dirks. He's been elite in the booth for the Tigers. I hope he sticks around.
I am not a person to ask about hedging of any kind. I'll get DMs. Hey, Joe, what do you think of this situation? I have this player for this award. It puts my mind in a complete and total pretzel. So I'm not the guy to ask about hedging. Got to be honest about that one.
I feel like it's the hardest question to answer because a lot of people do send DMs, like you're saying, for hedging. It's just like, what other bets do you have? Like, is it a big amount where you really like you want to take something from? Like, there's so many other factors into it that it's very personal, I would say. Like, I don't think there ever is a really good answer. It depends on the person and stuff like that. So it is a hard question to answer for sure.
I think a lot of times, what was the story from last year where the guy hedged or he cashed a ticket or something and everyone came out and said it was negative EV. They all gave him a hard time for it. Was that a baseball bet or was it basketball?
He had a parlay. I don't remember the first couple legs, but I know the last leg was the Thunder. I don't know if it was to win the West or win the NBA Finals. So he took the cash out and the Thunder didn't make it. So you take the cash out, the cash out's going to be less. If you go and place the money down, you'll get more. But that means you also he would have had to place like $30,000. Does he have $30,000 cash to place a bet to get an extra $1,000? I mean, there's so many factors into that question. So it's really hard.
Landscaper Bob in the live chat. Leave the hedging to me. There you go. We attract many different types of viewers from many different types of professions. So shout out to a landscaper, Bob, making people's grass greener, hopefully, and getting rid of those weeds. I planted some grass seed recently. It's going quite well. You just got to water it twice a day there, John. I had an electrician out to my house yesterday, and he asked me what I do for a living. And I say, I'm sports betting, blah, 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 sports media. I never really know how to answer that question. He says, oh, who's your football team? And I said, well, I don't go around bragging about it, but it's the Miami Dolphins. And he goes, oh, no way, me too. And we talked for about 15 minutes about how disappointing the Miami Dolphins are. Good dude, though. FanDuel cash out is, I don't know what these guys are talking about sometimes. I should read them in my head.
He's talking about the futures bet.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I'm guessing he has $360 on 30-1 to win the World Series. So it's a pretty big bet.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, yeah. Always fun to kick that around, though, and I can't wait to be kicking around more baseball, which we're going to be doing tomorrow. So went 6-0 on baseball last week on the show. So hopefully can finish strong here in the regular season, carry that into the playoffs. That's the one thing Major League Baseball, I criticize a lot of the stuff, but they do. But the playoffs are awesome. They have like a one-day break. Regular season ends on a Sunday. Playoffs start on the Tuesday, and they just zoom through it. Right through the World Series. They get from the wild card round to the World Series in about the time it takes the NBA to play one 7-game series in one of their rounds, right? They just fly right through it. So absolutely love that. And we will be back tomorrow here, guys. More baseball. We're going to have an NBA segment here with John, which we're going to start to ramp up on here soon. NBA season right around the corner. And John Middlecoff will be by to open the show, our weekly chat with him, talking the big stories and his favorite bets for week 4 of the NFL season. So, Mettler, thank you for joining. Have a blast at the Tigers game. Let's go, Tigers. Thank you to everybody for tuning in today. Thank you to producer Mick for producing. Thank you to BetMGM for sponsoring. Best of luck with your bets tonight, everybody. We will catch you again tomorrow.